An introduction.
Page 6.
Introduction. Here in Isaiah 53, we have the most complete atonement passage in the Bible. This is a passage that is the greatest on the subject of atonement. What? In the Old Testament? Yes, in the Old Testament. And 700 years before it was written, there is woven together historical fact with interpretive detail. Not only historical details of the life of the Lord, but also the significance of what is happening in the purposes of God, what God is doing through the serpent. The Lord Jesus Christ just didn't come to earth as a model. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to redeem the world, the seed of the woman, to redeem the world and banish the world and universe of sin. And that's his target and his goal. This is parallel in the Gospels and in the Epistles. As you read the Gospels, you find there is little detail regarding the significance of Calvary. There's only a little bit there, only a little bit. It's when we come to the Epistles, we find that the significance of what has happened in the Gospel and in the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up to us. Even at Calvary, there was no evangelist saying, now this person who is dying on the cross is not a criminal. I want to tell you he is, who he is. He's the Messiah of Israel. He's the Savior of the world. And if you trust in him, well, he's bearing your sins now. If you trust in him, he'll save you. No preaching of the cross at Calvary. It was a sign of the crucifixion of criminals. The Lord Jesus Christ was taking the place of a criminal. He is between two thieves. And the crime is above their head. What was written above the head of the Lord Jesus Christ? The words, please. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And the Jewish people said, get rid of that to Pilate. And he said, no, what I have written stands written. And it was almost prophetic. It is Jesus of Nazareth as King of the Jews, but he's up there because it's treason. We won't have this man to reign over us. We will have Caesar. The authorities didn't say, get out their Bibles and say, well, the next thing we've got to do with this fellow is put him on the cross so he can pay for the sins of the world according to this book, this Bible of the Jewish people. Now, if they'd have known that, the Apostle Paul said they wouldn't have crucified him. Now, remember that in Corinthians? If the rulers of this world knew who he was, they wouldn't have crucified him, but they didn't know. It wasn't until later, particularly after the resurrection, that the apostles take that message, the message of the significance of the cross. Now we believe the interpretation of these songs in Isaiah 53 is guided for us in verses in particular in the New Testament. We haven't time, but in Luke chapter 22 verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from Isaiah 53 and said, this is fulfilled in me. And then the apostles went forth preaching, and in Acts chapter 8 and verses 29 to 35, as we have here in point 2, we have Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, and as he joins the chariot, it says in the scriptures, he hears him reading the apostle, he hears him reading the book of Isaiah, which indicates to us that he's reading intently. He's reading intently. You know why? He heard him read as he joined the chariot. He's reading it out, reading it out, reading it out. And he's got some questions. The Ethiopian eunuch. Give me a question the Ethiopian eunuch asks Philip. Pretty close. You had some questions. The Ethiopian eunuch asked the question to Philip. He's reading here Isaiah 53, and he asked Philip two questions. Well, let's turn to it, eh? Of whom is this writer talking about? Of himself or some other person? He's got great discernment there, because a little later on we're going to read and comment on the fact that the Jewish people believe they're the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. The nation of Israel is the suffering servant. That's what they believe. But he had discernment. The Ethiopian eunuch had a discernment because he realized it must be an individual. It can't be a nation that's suffering here. Of whom does he speak? Of himself, is Isaiah talking about himself, or some other man, some other person? Come on, folks, you've got to turn to it. You're not believing me. Acts chapter 8, okay? Lovely. One of my favorite chapters, Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch, he's a treasurer. And that's something, isn't it? How many treasurers do you know who are born again? Yeah, well, one treasurer goes back to Ethiopia and he's born again. So I don't know if he went back and fixed up the books that he might have adopted, or I don't know. I shouldn't say that to him. But at least he goes on his way rejoicing, and he's drenched. He's drenched. Why? He got it, stopped the caravan and said, water. Water, what hinders me from being baptized? Yeah. How would you like to go with your neighbours? Invite your neighbours to a baptism. Or go down to the river and with your neighbours and everyone. That's what they do in foreign countries. They don't have big cathedrals and so on. They just, as we said, they just do it in the river and all the neighbours come out. Hindus, Muslims, a whole lot. And you're marked. You're marked as a believer. So here, the Ethiopian eunuch has a baptism. It's public. It's a caravan. I don't think it was just one isolated chariot going chug, 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 chug. I'm pretty sure it was a caravan, all right? It's a treasurer who's travelling from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and going back, and he's got the copy of the Isaiah scroll. He's pretty rich, so he's able to get it, and he's reading it aloud. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And said, do you understand what you are reading? Here's a lovely question. Do you understand what you are reading? How can I? Unless someone guides me. We all need guidance. I've been guided. So I can do what I'm doing today. Praise God for those who taught me. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearers, and did not open his mouth. In humiliation his justice was taken away, and who can declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. In other words, how can he have children? How can he go on? Because he's finished. And yet he's going to be a ruler and have children and descendants. How's it going to happen? That's what Isaiah is saying. So the eunuch answered and Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? You see that there? Is Isaiah talking about himself or some other man? He has the discernment already that it is an individual. Please remember that. So Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Tell me please, you Bible students, what would be another scripture he could turn to? He began with this one. What other scripture could he turn to preach Jesus to him? Psalm 22, that's a good one. Another one. Come on, all you people who witness to Jewish people and witness to people during the week. Where do you go for your gospel texts in the Old Testament? In one of my classes that I have in teaching in Bible school, I say to the students, righto, this is an assignment. I want you all now to show me how you can lead someone to Christ with the Old Testament only. How would you go? You see, the early church didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written. The first book of the Old Testament was written in AD 50, and the last one was written in AD 90. The Apostle Paul didn't have a copy of the Gospel of John, you know. That's what we use, the Gospel of John. He couldn't pull out a Gospel of John from his pocket. Why? Wasn't written. The contents would have been known by the teaching of the Apostle John and his followers. There would be some information there. The only records that the early church had was the Old Testament scriptures. And they used those to preach Christ.